song number 173 of our opening song. Song number 149. Thank you. speakers later this evening, he would be very mindful of having your prayers for him and also your prayerful attention as well.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. A couple of years ago, I came to church one Sunday morning and Bill Malone's coach was sitting out here and he'd been here overnight. I didn't know about it. And it was my turn to preach that morning and I went ahead and preached my sermon. And then after the sermon, I went and greeted Bill and he said, "You know, Dave," he says, "I prepared a sermon just in case you asked me to talk today." He said, "You read every one of my references except for one of them." This morning when Jim got up here and he said, "I want to talk to you about fellowship," I opened my notes and showed Kathy my heading on my note sheet. It said fellowship. Maybe the Lord has something to tell us. Maybe he wants us to have some fellowship with each other. And so you're going to hear a little bit more about fellowship, and Jim didn't cross my references too much this morning, so I kept the same ones. And he told us that it's all through the scriptures, a lot of them about fellowship, and he's right. There's a lot of them about fellowship, and Paul, the apostle who wrote so much of the New Testament for us, spoke about it to almost everyone he wrote letters to. And in each one of those epistles that he wrote, it seemed like he gave a warning. And I want to read a few of those. The first one I'm going to read is in 1 Corinthians 5. That's verse 11. It says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat." In other words, don't socialize. Don't have relations with that person. I want you to keep an open mind while I read these, because I'm going to refer back to them again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I'm going to read one more, and that's in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. All these references where Paul gives stern warning against associating with those that are corrupt, those that are worldly. And there's a reason why he told them this. But let's take a look at what Christ did as an example. And I want to go to Luke chapter 15. These are the words of Christ. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 15. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And if we look at Mark, the second chapter, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17. "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call to the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, if we just take the parts of those quotes that I made from Paul, and we have nothing to do with those that we consider to be sinners, somebody that's drunk, somebody that is covetous, or somebody that follows after idols, somebody that just doesn't do what we agree with, and we just separate ourselves from them, have we done any good? You know, my daughter-in-law, Julie, when she first started coming to this church, her and John would be gone for a while, and then they would come, and she would say, "I can't believe how friendly everybody is. They just greet us like we're there all the time." She said, "At the church that I'm used to going to, if you don't go, you get the cold shoulder." What good does that do to give somebody the cold shoulder and to shut them out? Even Paul said to treat him like a brother. But there's something that is there is the reason why we have the warnings. In Matthew 9, I want to read verse 13. And this was Christ, his words again. He says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He told those that were with him to find out what that means, to have mercy. How do you have mercy on someone if you put yourself above them and you pridefully turn your nose up when they come by? And you're too good to speak to them. You're too good to associate with them. What kind of fruit have you produced in that temple that God said that he dwells in? The temple is our hearts. The hearts of those that believe on God. That's where he dwells. And if you're going to produce with that temple and with that Holy Spirit, you're going to have to go among the sinners. And you might say, yeah, we're all sinners. But it goes beyond that. Because there are all sorts of beliefs in the world. There are lost sheep. There are people who are searching. And how can they find if they're shut out? How will the door ever be opened to them if someone's not there to open it? In First Thessalonians, I want to turn over there and read one. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read 14 through 23. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." This is the same Paul who wrote this epistle as the one that gave us all the warnings about not associating with those that are evil. But then he tells us, that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. That's not just us, is it? He said to all men. That includes sinners, fornicators, drunkards, lost sheep. They're all inclusive. So why the warnings? Go back to Matthew chapter 16. This is where Christ tried to give some understanding to his disciples. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 6 through 12. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which Jesus perceived, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Don't take part in their doctrine. That's what Paul is trying to tell the people. But there are others that are speaking lies. There are those that are speaking for filthy lucre, the commandments of men. Things that are good for the ears to hear, if you want to follow after the ways of the world. The way that Satan would like you to go. Telling you that, oh, it doesn't matter what you did today, it's okay. Lord has mercy on all those that are sinners. Go ahead and rejoice. Take $20. You know, that's just the way those TV evangelists are. Accept God in your life and send the check to me. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Make you feel good about yourself so you're willing to write a big check. It's tax deductible. Go ahead. Christ is warning his disciples, don't get caught up in this. Don't follow after the false doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those of the world. Have fellowship with all men. Set a good example. But be true and faithful to your God. Follow after his commandments. That was the whole reason why Christ took upon him the flesh and blood, was so that we could have repentance and be cleansed of those things which we do which are contrary to God, which are corrupt in his kingdom, so that we could put off corruption and put on that light which Christ gave us. I'm going to switch books. I'm going to go to 4th Nephi on page 682. I'm going to read verse 13. And they did not walk anymore after the performances and ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer. and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And why would the people have this fellowship? Because we're told to strengthen each other, to support each other, to help those that are weak. We all have weakness somewhere because God gave it to us. He said, I give you weakness that you might be humble. And it's up to us to support one another. It's up to us to set a good example for those that are watching. Let's go back to page 430. This will be the book of Alma, chapter 16. And start on verse 227. It says, yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. He cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, you cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. We heard this not too long ago in another sermon here. As I watch my children become young adults and watch them go through the different phases of life and try to make decisions on what to do for a companion, I see mistakes being made. And I try to warn them. But the society that we live in today is so overcome by things of the world that they put themselves above the commandments of God and they think that they know better. Even though it may not be right, and they've been taught it's not right, still, they put themselves above that and say, this is what I want. And it's heartbreaking. And it's only through fellowship and continued love that we can ever get them to a point where they're ready to change in their life. We have to struggle with this every day. I know every one of us struggles every day with those that we love. Being overcome by this world and by the things that are in it. And it's because we live in it. And it's because Satan is so good at what he does. And he knows exactly what to do in order to get those flaxen cords started around and around and around until eventually he turns them into chains and he binds us to that which is corrupt. None of us is to a place where we can say, I'm safe. They can't harm me, I'm safe. But they can. They can discourage you, they can work against you and just about all things that you do that you hope are right. And that's where we have to keep the faith and endure. Because if we don't endure, then we will be overcome. That's why we have to pray and prepare to meet God. That's why we have to put things in God's hands also. Because if it's up to us, we're going to mess it up. So we have to ask God. We have to have that fellowship with God. That he can keep us away from the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the type that they are. I want to go to Alma 16 on page 416. Read verse 77. Thus we see the end of him who perverteth the ways of the Lord. Thus we see that the devil will not support his children at the last day, but doth speedily drag them down to hell. It's speaking here, it told the story of Korihor, who became a beggar going from house to house because of his disbelief. It says, and as he went forth among them, behold, he was run upon and trodden down even until he was dead. The end of Korihor. He followed after Satan, and Satan didn't support him when the time came he needed support. He didn't feed him. He didn't take care of him. But remember what I just read? That spirit which possesses you during this life, if you die with that spirit possessing you, it will possess you after this life. It gets to be a pretty serious thing. That's also why the Lord showed us a better way. He set us free by giving us the truth. He set us apart from the rest of the world. He said, all you have to do is believe. Believe in me and I will be there for you. My last reading is going to be in the book of Titus, which is right after Timothy, which is hard to find for me because it's very short. Titus, the second chapter. I want to read verses 11 through 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Things that we should be looking for. The purpose of Jesus Christ who is coming again. We read all the scriptures that told of the birth of Christ, the babe in the manger and the virgin that would give birth to him, what his name would be. It's not any different today. Today, I tell you, he's coming again. We can see the signs. We can see how desperately Satan is working with the children, with the adults, with the old people. It always amazes me when I see a grandma and grandpa who don't follow after righteousness. But you know, they're just as human as anybody else, and Satan works on them just the same way he does anybody else. They need fellowship also. They need to know that there is a better way, that there is a life after this life. And we are here to prepare for that life, to follow after the example that Christ gave us. And he said to hold that gospel dear to you until I come again, to endure to the end, to have fellowship one with another, and to avoid that leaven of unbelievers. Tonight, before we left home, I told my wife, we were sitting by a nice warm fire, and I said, good night to stay home. But we came because we needed that fellowship. I'm glad to see each of you here. Thank you.
Keep those words within our hearts and not forget. Let them be a light through our lives. And we ask, Father, again, for thy blessings upon those that are sick and afflicted, wherever they be, that you will grant unto them health and guidance, Father. I do pray that you watch over us along the way and all of thy people. Be with us, Father, until we meet again, and keep us in the way.